This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one show. Mike, he's got small hands. I'm looking at the tape again. I'm talking.
Dallas Turner?
Yeah.
How small are small hands for a guy that big?
Are you talking yourself out of it now, Carl?
Well, no. I've come over here.
Hold on. Now you sound like me on the quarterback issue. Now you're vacillating.
I've come over to your side because you want Turner, so I said fine.
Yes.
But then I just went back. I mean, Mike, his hands aren't 10 inches.
Well, he's not asked to throw the football. He's going to go get the guys.
He doesn't have big hands.
He doesn't need to. He's not throwing the football. He's going to hit the guys who throw the football.
He's got to grab with those hands. They need to be big.
Okay. So now he's got hands like Deadpool after he got shot in half? That's what you're telling me? Come on. You can talk yourself in and out of anything. You can look at the pros and the cons and everybody's draft profile. It's so funny.
They're not 10 inches.
Well, neither are mine. Who cares?
You're not grabbing quarterbacks.
I'm grabbing something.
I need a guy to have a claw, okay?
Right. Yeah.
I just sat and do those things.
Okay, well, let's go find who's got the biggest hands amongst your edge rushing class, and let's go get that guy.
Here's what's going to happen in this draft. We're 9 days away. This is going to be an offensive-driven first round, okay? You're probably, and this is just a guesstimation, you're probably going to have five quarterbacks potentially taken. We know four for sure. Six wide receivers, deep draft. Nine offensive linemen, Mike, deep draft. You know Brock Bowers is going, another offensive player. We, on the other hand, are going to be one of those teams, which is why we have the flexibility to go get the position that we want if we do this the way we think we're going to, and that is we're going to draft defense. So if I'm telling you 21 offensive players are taken in the first round and 21 of them are offensive players, Mike, you will have your choice of possibly going to get the best corner. If you want to go edge, as Dallas Turner is your guy, so be it. If it's Latu, he will be there. If it is Jared Verse, to Mike's point, hand in the dirt, go get the quarterback, he will be there. What are they going to do? And what makes the most sense? Because with that many offensive players gone, Mike, I think you're going to have a chance to do whatever you want at 8. And again, we're saying, guys, right now we're staying at 8. Mike and I will be down at Mercedes-Benz next Thursday, and guess what? Trades could happen at 5 o'clock next week,
right?
And we could be moving back, which changes the whole thing. But right now we're sitting at 8.
By the way, I just looked it up. Your boy, Latu, his hand size is 9 5/8.
Oh, he's got 10 inches.
No, it's just 9 5/8.
He's got 10 inches.
This is from the NFL Network, so... You know, Latu. So, in addition to a neck that can't move,
come on,
he apparently has hands at the same size as Dallas Verse. So, we'll keep updating on this. Carl was all in, and he was coming over to our side, and then some of you guys on social media swung him back the other way. So
yeah,
we'll,
because you guys told me Dukes don't give up, and they're right, because there are people who, just like me, are not necessarily convinced that he's a killer.
I mean, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay.
Oh, they're just putting him there because of
Pete
need.
Frisco.
That is need. That's not the best player available.
All right. Now, again, I can guarantee you this. We spent all this week, we spent too much talking about Dallas, Turner, Jared Verse, Latu, and they won't do anything we're expecting.
They're going to go a completely different way.
It'll be a freaking wide receiver. It'll be Brock Bowers. It'll be a corner.
Can you imagine if it's Bowers?
It'll be something you never expected. It'll be Joe Alt. I'm telling you right now, as a Falcon fan going on my 27th season, nothing we've talked about will ever come to fruition on Thursday night.
By the way, we will be so PO'd if it goes that way.
I mean, you know, it's like the time. Nothing against Drake London, but I think I had COVID that week. I couldn't be at the draft. But you're there, and I was like, Carl, it seems like the reaction online is lukewarm about Drake London. So it's always
it was a gasp.
Yeah, it's always it's never what you expect. And the year that the most successful drafts in recent Falcon history, the 2016, we spent all that time talking about linebackers. Remember, we talked about all the different linebackers, and then we went with Keanu Neal.
Safety.
And so we go safety. We're picking later in the round, but then, of course, it was Debo who went in the second round, and both guys were starters. And again, I don't care what order we go edge rush, as long as both guys are starters, contribute, and put us in the playoffs.
Okay, so see, that's the other part of this. At 8, your expectation is a lot higher, okay, Turtle? Then 7 sacks and 45 tackles and matching the production of Will Anderson, which I said, if you give me that, if whoever this guy is gives me that at the edge, I'd be very happy if we're talking about the Falcons, who, by the way, defensively haven't had guys get awards in a very long time.
Right.
To even be recognized. Part of our issue, Mike, just from a fan base standpoint is, we said this. We don't have a lot of brand names. Grady is amazing. He's a terrific human being. He's a great person and a hell of a player. But even Grady Jarrett, on the national level, guys understand what he does for our team, Mike. But most part, people, we don't have those brands. So that is another part of this. If you're going to go there, I want a guy in 3 years, Mike, that is a well-known brand that is doing damage.
Right. You want a J.J. Watt or his brother
yes.
T.J. Watt? Well, we could have had T.J. Watt. We wouldn't got – I did it for her.
I did it for her.
McKinley, that – oh, my God. So, real quick, I've been giving you a lot of the pro football focus stuff, and Randy Mack was joking around. He's like, those nerds. We were talking earlier at the handoff today about one of these rankings.
Small hands.
For what it's worth, Daniel Jeremiah has, we're picking at 8. The guy he has ranked at number 8, the best 8th best athlete in this draft, is Joe Alt from Notre Dame, who may go to the Chargers or the Titans, so it might be a moot point. The guy he's got ranked number 9th, Daniel Jeremiah, by the way, has kind of eclipsed Mel Kiper as the latest guy as far as the draft gurus on NFL Network. Terrion Arnold from Alabama. He's got his number
corner,
9.
Corner.
And that's so that's
– And, Mike, I feel better about that.
Right. And so that's a lot higher than the way the nerds had it. They got Quinyon Mitchell going higher. And we've talked about white boy Rick, you know, and the kid from – Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And for what it's worth, again, this is why it is frustrating because there is a degree of consensus – about what the Falcons, Carl's point, are going to do. But when you look at who's got the rank, he's got DeJean ranked 25th, and the Pro Football Focus nerds have him ranked the 8th best athlete. So who's going to be right on draft night? And more importantly, who's going to be right in 3 or 4 years when these guys are going to Pro Bowls or not?
Yeah, see, and here's the deal about this athlete thing. Like, when I hear that, Mike, I get it. They're gifted physically. But can they play?
Right.
Can I get to the quarterback? Can I be a ball hawk? Part of our issue, guys, in the secondary, and I mentioned this to you guys, do you know how many interceptions came from the cornerback position last year on our team? Zero. Where's the ball hawking and the guys that make plays on the ball, Mike? Speaking of corners, where are the guys that get a pick six?
Right.
Take it to the house. I'm not talking about Jesse Bates.
But that's what we're waiting for A.J. Terrell to be. I mean, maybe he's never going to be that guy.
But this is why the corner thing is intriguing because we need more of that.
Right. And I don't know. Can you get a guy who you can draft in the second round and he can start and be an impact guy and take some of that pressure? Because now, remember, when A.J. Terrell had a bunch of nobodies around him, they wouldn't throw an A.J. Terrell. And then when we got better – and look, Jeff Okuda signed a 1-year deal with the Texans. He was nothing special, but he was better than anything A.J. Terrell had around him. So all of a sudden, A.J. Terrell got tried.
Yeah.
And it wasn't great at times this year. Then at the end of the season, Clark Phillips gets his chance against the Saints. And we love his hops and his energy and everything we saw in camp. But, you know, he does look like he needs some more polish, doesn't he, Clark Phillips, at this level?
He does.
So that's why corner.
He does, but I like Phil. But I love his attitude.
Yeah, he's a dude.
I love his attitude.
But maybe he's just better suited for the short term, just sliding over the nickel, right? Be the nickel guy. But that's a lot of pressure. You're drafting a rookie corner who's going to step in and start. That's what we need, basically.
By the way, Joe Alt has 10-inch hands, Carl.
10 inches,
it's but important. That's on the lower end of the offensive line spectrum, though.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
What's the norm?
That's in the 45th percentile, his 10-inch hands, Carl.
I'm just saying.
So we got to draft. So we're going to have to draft a guy in the seventh round, but he's Joey Sausage Fingers?
The hand size matters, Mike. These guys, you look at me. They're keeping these guys away from him. They're keeping him off the quarterback.
Watch the friggin' tape.
They're grabbing quarterbacks. By the way, I don't like Turner dropping back in coverage. That's another thing.
Well, I don't like the idea of anybody. Here's the other thing.
What are you doing in Alabama when you're dropping back in coverage? Well, who is calling these plays?
This is more about Raheem Morris, and we're going to do the Dan Quinn 2.0 stuff.
No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Remember Vic Beasley?
Don't go there.
I mean, we said it yesterday. You take Vic Beasley, you drop him into coverage, and now you got 10 guys on the field because this guy's having no effect whatsoever in the game. Defense is doing it. It's not just Raheem or Dan Quinn. It's part of that scheme. And more of a 4-3 than what you see in 3-4.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Lots of offensive players are going in this draft. First round, Thursday night, next week, okay? We know this, which will give us an opportunity to potentially have our pick of what position we want to go to. And as much as we're talking about Turner, Mike's right. Like, there's no guarantee about this. Now, as I've said, I have no issues with Turner. He may end up being a great player. I just feel like you could get more value and better value if you draft him a little bit later in the first round. That is my only concern as I continue to repeat this when people say, oh, man, you hating on Alabama. No. Outside of the fact he's got small hands and I don't like him in coverage, okay, I'm watching the tape right now and I like this. Outside of those things, whatever it is, and everybody in this room has been killing me about Turner. Yes, you and you and you.
He popped. He had 10 sacks for Alabama. They went to the semifinal, and then he destroyed it at the combine. He was one of the guys, one of the top five guys at the combine. By the way, speaking of the draft, real quick from D-Led, we've been talking about this. I know it was on the back burner for a lot of Falcon fans. Last year, the Cardinals got extra picks from the Eagles for reaching out to talk to their coach before he was able to be talked to as the offensive coordinator. Gannon took the job in Arizona. Reason I bring it up, the Jonathan Gannon precedent, Florio was running this up the flagpole last week
about
that. Well, maybe and it was the most asinine thing. Florio was saying we'd swap first round picks with the Minnesota Vikings over Cousins. That's not going to happen.
No way.
Not even know how.
No way.
I mean, it's going to be it's more than a slap on the wrist. It might be a swap of a third or a fourth round pick. I don't want to lose our second third rounder, but the tampering deal, you know, Arthur Blank said in the league meetings, obviously they told the league what they thought was, you know, above board. The fact that maybe there was some conversation with a trainer with Cousins. Cousins let that slip in his introductory presser. Reason I mention it is it got settled right before the draft last year between Philly and Arizona. So if you're waiting to see if we're going to hopefully not lose draft position over this, which seems so stupid.
Mike, there's no way.
The NFL creates this legal tampering nonsense that half the fan base don't understand anyway. I just hate the idea of losing one of those top 100 picks.
His 10 sacks, by the way, tied for 8th. Not 1st. 8th. At Alabama! All right. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. We'll talk to Grant McCauley. Yes, the Braves have an injury now that we've got to work through. If you have not heard, stay there. We'll tell you all about it. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We're going to talk about the Braves, the injury that they're now dealing with as they continue their series with the Astros coming up with our man Grant McCauley. Also, for those who missed it, Michael Rothstein stopped by from ESPN. We'll replay that in the 6 because we want you to hear what he had to say about the options for our Falcons. And, Mike, I'm getting on my Twitter feed guys talking about, hey, I want to move back. I don't want to move down, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to move back. Listen, I'm not against any of this. Mike has been saying it for weeks now. It's not that I don't think the Falcons are against it, but you have to have somebody who wants to do business with you.
Right. Now, there's variables, as you guys know. Most of the stuff, the first three is going to be quarterbacks. Patriots can talk all they want about not, they're going to go quarterback. They got to reset for the franchise. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go in Bears and Commanders and Payton. Now, again, who they're going to go, that's a different story. Arizona, I think, goes Marvin Harrison Jr. I think all the talk about them, unless somebody swings for the fences and gives them an offer, they can't refuse. Same thing goes for the Chargers. Harbaugh wants line, but of course he also needs more things. They could maybe trade down and get more stuff, including still get an impact wide receiver. Giants, I mean, could the Giants throw? I mean, a left hook from nowhere, and they're going to go get quarterback? Or they can still roll with Daniel Jones? Some people feel that they like Drake May. Who knows? Point we're getting to is if everything goes like chalk, then who wants something they think they need to jump up ahead of? If it's the Broncos, they got to get ahead of the Vikings. Maybe they call us. But there's not a lot of guys, I think, moving up to 8, Carl. Most of the damage is going to be done before we select.
And if that happens, that will give us the option to go in many different directions, which is why I think it's very important to understand you cannot get locked in on one guy, Dallas Turner. I know it's a need, but is it the best player? And again, that has been my discussion. So appreciate you guys hitting us up. I know Mike just tweeted out there, convinced me, and guys are like, yeah, get on board, Deuce, because this is going to be the pick.
I just find it ironic, Carl, that when it comes to breaking down the pre-draft analysis, you have aligned yourself with a person that so much of our audience despises, Chris Collinsworth, who is now the owner of Pro Football Focus. And that's who – Carl, it's great to have you with me on Dallas Turner and not wanting him coming to Atlanta. Isn't that right, idiot son? That's right, Dad. So, yeah, you've aligned yourself with Chris Collinsworth. He's a guy who is a big fan of the analytics.
Stuck on the hand size, too, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm just giving you guys facts, okay? I mean, you might not want to hear it, but
size matters. Listen, Carl, and talking out of both sides of your mouth, too, because you're as locked on to Latu as anyone
Turner. No, that's not true.
Second coming.
All I've said, I even got it from Squid. Squid's now hitting me up talking about, why are you on Latu? All I've said was he's the better edge, pure edge rusher.
You're in full-bloom love.
Pass rusher. He's better. That's all I've said. Mike's mentioned he thinks Dallas Turner's the better athlete. He may be. Latu is the better pass rusher. The stats don't lie there. Had more sacks this last season. Had more impactful plays. Am I lying, Oren? Two strip sacks of two picks. Come on.
But look, Carl, remember when Lincoln Hawk beat to big Bob Hurley in the movie Over the Top? Hand size was not a deciding factor when Stallone took off that giant, big Bing the Merciless guy on steroids.
Just flip that hat backwards, man. That's how you got to do, Carl.
You flip that hat backwards and you get the job done.
That's a great example.
I was not expecting you to say anything under 10 or 11 inches.
That's all I'm saying. It matters. Okay. 404-726-0929. Everybody's chiming in. Seriously, we hear you. We get it. If the Falcons end up making a move in the first round, to Mike's point, it's going to be because somebody else wanted to come and get that pick.
Right. Now, real quick, if we go corner, last word on this, and we'll table it for later. If we go corner with the first pick or a wide receiver that you know, if Roma Dunze is there, you know our general manager will take him because he'd be the best athlete on the board. Now, the question is, what about
– At 8, you'd take him over Malik?
If he's there, at
Neighbors,
eight.
Neighbors is if, better.
I'm assuming Malik Neighbors is gone.
Okay,
but Roma Dunze is there.
Okay,
you know, I'm assuming that either the Chargers or the Arizona Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr. But if Roma Dunze is there, then just some names: Xavier Thomas from Clemson and a dude named Austin Booker from Kansas. These would be third round guys. If you're trying to take that secret sauce we talked about yesterday with the Rams,
take them later.
What they did,
take them.
These
later.
Are edge rush guys. It would be rotational, but maybe with a bigger impact. So just some names to think of, and we'll see.
And here's the other thing, Mike. I'm glad you said this, because you know the name doesn't mean again that it's going to be the best player.
Right.
We talked about these Rams guys yesterday, the rookies. Mm-hmm. You didn't know who these guys were. That doesn't mean that they won't be or potentially draft great players. But we're also caught up in, hey, I know that guy, Alabama, and I know I watched him, so I know he's going to be good. That's not necessarily true.
Right. So we just know the precedent is, regardless of need, even though, see, here's the thing. Carl and I, we've been banging the drum, playing Thumper. The name of the game is Thumper.
Thumper. Thumper.
No, we're banging the drum saying we've got to get impact defensive pieces. They may have a completely 180 on this.
Yep.
If we're going to go 2016, we're going to score like a lot of touchdowns, put the pressure on the other team, just catch up. They won't be able to.
Cousins has 50 touchdowns.
Correct.
Yes.
That might be the plan.
Mike's point, if you go the theory that it's three quarterbacks, two wide receivers, and Joe Alt as the top seven, ooh, either Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison, or Roma Dunze is going to be there.
I can't. Yeah. Turtle, I can't pass it up.
Yeah.
Mike, I can't pass that
and
up.
And then hope that your defensive coach, who's part of the brain trust, Again, I presume he was with L.A. He showed the ability to get the guys that were impact later rounds.
By the way, if that is to happen, all right, and again, guys, if you're just joining us, Dukes and Bale Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we're talking about all the scenarios because we're counting down. It's 9 days. And again, things could change between now and then. Mike talked about the October surprise in politics. Right. We could get a surprise about one or two of these guys potentially between now and the draft that might change your opinion. Maybe, maybe not. But as we throw all this stuff around, I just think it's important to say if that happens, okay, you dedicate eight to one of those spectacular wide right. receivers. It's a deep wide receiver draft. Then you have to go defense the rest of the way, right?
Correct.
You got to give me three defensive picks the rest of the way.
Right. Or you're going to bring back Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree, and we're going to spackle the defense.
That's
true. You do get some pieces back last year. You know, we get getting Grady back is like having a free agent.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what Troy Anderson's going to be in the NFL. He's part of your linebacker core. You know, maybe battling for his job against his buddy, Nate Landman.
Yeah. The hammer. The only thing I can say about Anderson, Mike, is we know he's fast. We know right. he can run. Can he be impactful and make plays in what they're going to ask him to do? That, I don't know if we saw enough of him to say that. Mm. I like Nate Landman. I told you. He brings the – speak to the hammer. He brings the hammer.
Right.
He brings the hat, man. He's not afraid to hit dudes. He feels – you know, when you talk about those short gaps or those, you know, those hard short yardage plays – he's all over that stuff. And Nate, I thought he stepped in and the defense didn't fall off. So maybe both of those guys are in the rotation, however it plays out. But, yeah, the Anderson thing is the only thing I know. Somebody asked me this the other day. How good is he? I can't tell you that right now. All I know is he can run. That's what I right. knew about him. I wanted to see that translate into sideline to sideline playmaking.
I've done a lot of mock drafts, and the name that keeps coming up is a guy named Marshawn Nealand. Again, he was a stud at the combine. No one knows who he is. He went to Western Michigan. There's a couple of mock drafts where the Ravens take him at the end of the second round, and the Ravens always seem to know who to
yes,
draft defensively.
So yes,
just another
do.
Name for
yes,
the middle
do.
Of the round.
Well, this is where the scouting department comes in.
And hopefully they do the due diligence. We get the impact dudes. But don't we all agree, though, we got a 3-year window to do something big?
Yeah.
That's it.
Because you've got a veteran quarterback who right. understands the league and, more importantly, understands right. how to get rid of the football.
See, they might say, just for argument's sake, because we said this in the first hour, whatever you think they're going to do, they don't do. They might think that if Joe Walt said they got to take him because they don't believe, they might say they believe in Caleb McGarry, but maybe they don't.
Let me ask you one other thing while we're talking about this. His hands are small. let me ask you one other thing. Does any of this get you – what gets you the most excited? Mike, what gets you – you're a fan.
As
we
dumb
go, we go
as
to these games.
Dumb as it
what
is.
What gets you
as,
the most excited?
As so stupid as it is, after I've been harping on trenches, you know the fan base. You think they go nuts if it's a wide receiver? It's one of those – because everybody knows these three wide receivers.
They know them.
And they've seen them on TV.
Yes.
And that's what makes all the difference.
Okay. That gets you excited. Let's be honest. It gets you excited. Yes!
Dallas Turner gets me excited.
Oh, no.
Dallas Turner.
All right.
Dallas Turner.
All right.
Edge rush today. Edge rush tomorrow. Right. Edge rush forever.
All right. We're coming coming back. When we do, we're going to talk to our buddy Grant McCauley. The lineup looks a little bit different tonight simply because there is an injury. We'll talk to Grant about that. The job that Darius Rucker did last night was incredible.
No, it's Darius Vines.
Oh, okay. It was incredible.
Darius is now in Nashville. He's doing that Freddie Fender thing.
I know Hootie when I see him. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley next.
Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley because it's time to go around the yard. And, Grant, let's start with the news we got today. We've been telling our listeners, not something you want to hear, about Ozzie. What do you know about this injury, and did you think it was that serious last night?
No, when he finished the game, I kind of felt like maybe they dodged a bullet. But, you know, you get hit on the foot, whether it's a foul ball, whether it's a hit by pitch, you just kind of hold your breath. And I think collectively most of Braves country probably was, given that Ozzie Albies had missed significant time year before last with that broken foot. So this is clearly news that nobody wanted, and Ozzie Albies is at the top of the list of people who didn't want it, and now they've got to figure out what to do over the next 4 to 6 weeks without him.
Yeah, I know that most guys go, oh, the hell, man, I hit my toe on the bed. Well, no one's asked you to turn two or run down the first baseline.
Right,
but
right.
But he did stay in the game. So, I mean, I know some of you, there are varying degrees of this. Most of us have banged our toes and we go to work. But, yeah, I know that he's such a spark plug. I still think he's the most underrated second baseman in the show.
Oh, no doubt. I don't think he gets the credit for being the kind of impact player that he is. And particularly, I know folks get online and get a little bit upset about the MLB, you know, network top 10 yeah. second baseman right now. And that always comes up. And we're in like, what, the third consecutive year where he's either ranked too low or doesn't make the list altogether. But let me tell you, he is not undervalued by the Braves themselves, by his teammates, and the league at large knows exactly what they're dealing with when it comes to Ozzie, the competitor that he is, the leader that he is for this team as well. I mean, he's really grown into that role over the course of his time with the Braves. So not having him out on the field, that's something that the Braves are just going to have to adjust to, you know, life without him for a little while. Hopefully this is something that does not keep him sidelined for too terribly long. But when you got a broken toe, I mean, it's going to take a number of weeks to heal. Then you got a little bit of a rehab assignment, I would imagine, to get him back up to speed. But yeah, this is the third injury that the Braves have had in the first 15 games that, as we spent all spring training long talking about stay healthy, stay healthy, stay healthy. Now they lost Sean Murphy on opening day. Then they lost Spencer Strider for the season. And now Ozzie Albies is the latest to join the injured list that, you know, hopefully the Braves don't have to deal with too many more of these.
Grant, what do you do at second base? What are the options? What will this look like?
Well, the big thing that they did, or the immediate move that they made, was bringing up David Fletcher, who they'd acquired from the Los Angeles Angels over the course of that series of trades they had in the winter. It started with the Kelnick trade, and then they made a few more, trying to move some of that money around. And, you know, Fletcher has been a useful player in the big leagues before, and I think that he could be again. The Braves had outrighted him off their roster just to see if they could move him and see if anybody would claim him and take the contract. Nobody did, but it gave them a 40-man spot back. They are contractually obligated to, I believe it's about $14 million worth of the remainder of his deal that he'd signed with the Angels. So they bring him back in, bring him up. They're paying him anyway. He's got pretty good on-base skills, no power to speak of, a little versatility, and he can play some second base for you. Luis Guillorme is going to start at second base in the second game against the Astros this evening. And then they'll kind of figure it out going forward, you know, just give him a little playing time here or there to either of those two guys. But, you know, we're now looking at the post-Vaughn Grissom era, so it's not call up the heir apparent or the next young hot prospect. It's kind of just finding ways to fill it in with the veterans.
We talked a lot, as Grant McCauley joins us, guys, about the pitching and is someone going to stick? Can Darius Vines stick? I guess he's got to cut down on the walks. He did have that trouble in the first inning. Second inning, I know Carl and I were joking, Grant, about every time they'd show a Snicker on Bally going, after another two-out walk. But he was able to, you know, kind of hunker down for about four innings.
Yeah, I thought he made some good adjustments and started to settle in as the game went along. Clearly, in a 2-1 game, you know, he might have had an opportunity had there been a better matchup for him and not a couple of lefties that were due up. But going to Aaron Bummer, got them out of the fifth inning. The bullpen did a really great job last night of keeping it 2-1 until the offense exploded against Josh Hader late with a whole bunch of singles, if we want to call that exploding. But you keep hitting them, you're going to keep scoring some runs. But long story short, with Darius Vines, I mean, I think that, you know, this experience is good for him, but he's one of those guys that is very much going to be a command and a feel kind of pitcher. So those walks, you're not going to be able to overpower the lineup with extra runners on base. It just increases the amount of responsibility on his shoulders. So that's something he'll look to adjust. Travis d'Arnaud talked after the game last night and said he felt like those adjustments in game were there. And that's just kind of what you start to build on for some of these young pitchers.
If you're just joining us, Grant, talking about Ozzie Albies on the 10-day IL, which means he'll miss significant time. It is a broken toe. And so, you know, as Grant said, 4 to 6 weeks, depending. Hopefully it's sooner than later. But that is something that we're talking about. I'm looking at the lineup right now, Grant, and do you think this is something we'll see in the meanwhile, which is Michael Harris in the two spot?
I do, and I felt like this was something that we might see at some point this season just based on some matchups, and not a knock on Ozzie, but just the fact that when you are facing lefties or righties, maybe you could just move them around. And once they lost Sean Murphy, I kind of wondered if they might go ahead and pull the trigger on moving Harris up into that top spot and having Ozzie the run producer more so in the middle and having the speed of Harris and then the lefty righty, you know, or the lefty hitter after the righty Acuna before the righty Riley. Then you bring up the lefty Olsen and so on and so forth and Ozuna. You could really go back and forth. and make it difficult for opposing managers to try to think, okay, they've got these two or three tough righties coming up. I'm bringing in this reliever or vice versa. I think that that's something that helps out for at least some of the lineup construction. But you can't knock it with Ozzie because he's a switch hitter. You can utilize him on either side. But Harris has certainly earned the opportunity to take his significant talent and have more plate appearances. I think that's something the Braves very much want to get, not at the expense of losing somebody else, but I think he's a perfect fit up there. And then they'll kind of figure out how they want to, you know, cobble together the rest of the lineup as you get down towards the bottom.
Our man Grant McCauley, guys, talking about the Bravos taking on the Astros. And what a strange game it was to be, you know, like a real kind of low-scoring affair. And then they bring in, you know, the highest-paid reliever, and then Hader gets lit up like a Christmas tree. He was just – and I was funny. I saw some of the commentary on MLB Network this morning. They were saying, yeah, I mean, you know, guys know you have a bad day, but the fan base is like, what are we paying for?
Yeah, I guess that's a legitimate question. And that may be, I think, sort of a product of an underperforming Houston club in the first couple of weeks because, yeah, they just took a series from the Rangers, but they were 4-10 heading into the weekend before they took 2 out of 3 against Texas. They're starting pitching, as we talked about yesterday. That's far from, you know, a good situation for them based on the amount of injuries they've had to deal with. And that, I think, in addition to a couple of slow starts by some hitters, I mean, Jose Abreu has been very bad for them. That's something else they're trying to figure out where they hit him. They've shuffled the lineup around. Pretty much everybody outside of Jose Altuve has had at least a little bit of question about how they're producing so far this year. So it's early. You know, it's a long season. The Astros have shown when it gets down to the end, they're typically a team that's going to be around. But I don't think they're accustomed to this kind of slow start and being several games under 500 for any long stretches of time.
Grant McCauley covering the Braves for us and covering Major League Baseball as we talk about the Ozzie injury and the lineup changes and what's been going on with our team. Hey, Arcia, how do you compare to what you've seen so far this season and what we saw last year? I think last year was such a surprise,
right,
but he's playing great, right?
Yeah, he is, and I think this is just kind of what the Braves are looking for, and he's a little bit of a peaks and valleys hitter. Like, he's going to have some really hot streaks. And he's going to go through maybe a cold streak where it just kind of adjusts for what he was doing, maybe playing a little bit over his head. But I don't think that he's in over his head when it comes to being able to handle that everyday job at shortstop, bringing that consistency, that arm that certainly helps him make plays. You know, he's pretty much found himself right where he needs to be at this point in his career, which was getting that second chance and opportunity to play every day and making the most of it. So I would just kind of expect more of the same from Arcia. And he has those big moments in him too. And that, I think, is something that the Braves have certainly enjoyed, is the fact that, you know, this is a guy that can handle that job every day and they don't have to question how they're going to handle shortstop. And, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, as they got into spring training, actually just about a year ago, and Dansby Swanson was gone, that was a very legitimate question, but we haven't heard it asked too many times in the last 14 or so months.
We got Ronaldo Lopez on the bump, yeah. Only one earned run in his first two starts, so he's off to a great start. And what do you, again, expect to go deep tonight?
Well, he hasn't exactly faced the toughest lineups out there yet. He faced the White Sox, and he did face the New York Mets, but this Astros team can be a little bit more difficult to deal with. You know, if he does kind of what Darius Vines did last night, make pitches in the spots that he needs to, maybe work ahead a little bit more, you know, pitch a little bit more aggressively. And I think Lopez, with more experience, probably already knows that kind of thing. I think he could have the same kind of success, but he knows he's no stranger to the Astros, having spent so much time in the American League. He knows how sudden their offense can be. There's a lot of proven veteran hitters in there that even when they're scuffling, you got to respect them and you got to work your way through that lineup very carefully. So if he can continue to do that, I think he's going to continue to play this important role and even more important role in the Braves rotation with Spencer Strider out. That ups the responsibility for everybody else and maybe no one more so than Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah. Big shoes, man. I mean, at the end of the day, all these guys are going to have to step up. And I think, you know, one of the things, Grant, that we talked about just briefly when we started today was Darius, once he settled in last night, he pitched well. And then his teammates complimented him. Those are the kind of starts we're going to need without Strider. I don't know if it's one guy, but you need, you know, three or four of those in a month from various guys to kind of figure this out, right? You expect Morton to be good. You're going to expect Sale to do his job and Freed. But those are going to be the starts that really come back and say, hey, how do we get a winning record or how are we still in first place? It's those starts.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to take a village, as they say. And we saw this last year, too, because in April, the Braves immediately lost Max Fried and Kyle Wright and had to deal with that for the majority of the season. Yes, Fried came back in the second half, but they never got Kyle Wright back in terms of every fifth day in rotation. I know he returned a little bit late, but he was no longer a factor. So they went through an entire season and won 104 games trying to figure out at least one spot in rotation and oftentimes two. And I do think that they've got the depth. Darius Fiennes is one of those guys, but we haven't seen some of the others that could factor in here. Of course, we've talked a lot about Bryce Elder in spring training. We talked about A.J. Smith-Shawver and Hurston Waldrop. I think that the Braves showed last year with Smith-Shawver that they're not afraid of an aggressive promotion if they feel like that's somebody that can help them. And a little bit later in in the season, Waskari Noah, who's made two starts now for Gwinnett, both of those have been positive. He could be a factor maybe even next month. And you've got Ian Anderson eventually, probably right, looking more so in the second half there. But there are some layers of depth, I guess, is what I'm saying. But every one of these starts and every opportunity these guys get is the chance to perhaps make an impression that could help them to maybe be the guy that solidifies the rotation. But I don't think we're through seeing some names come up and down as the Braves need to. But hopefully they're not having to bring these guys up and down to fill in for multiple spots of this rotation. That was very taxing last year, and the Braves managed to navigate it well. But I'm sure they prefer to not go through that again.
All right, man. As we mentioned, can't wait to see what Muddy Harris does in the two spot tonight. We'll see.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Grant, great job as always. We'll see what happens with the Braves. We'll talk tomorrow, brother.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Grant McCauley, guys. The Ozzie injury, to Mike's point, we know how good he is. We know what he means to this team. He doesn't get the national recognition, and I don't think he looks for it, but the fact is, like, he's one of the best at his position.
Right.
And, you know, say what you want. Take that out of the lineup. One of our guys said, Dukes, just, you know, move Monty Harris up. Let's keep the hit train going. I think it's feeling good is his Twitter handle. And I said, Phil, I'm cool with that. Like, I have no issues with us adjusting this lineup, but let's not act as if, like, Ozzie is not a big deal in this lineup.
No, and for some reason, he just does not get the love nationally. No, it drives me crazy. Grant knows it does drive me crazy. And Chadwick Tromp behind the dish tonight, so we'll see what he does in H-Town.
All right, guys, top three at 6 coming up. NBA play-in starts tonight. Hawks tomorrow. We'll talk about that as well as the disrespect that's going on with our star. Again, it's Dukes and Bell.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.